Welcome, cats and kittens, to the first ever named installment of a brand new show called QshCast After Dark. This is the part of QshCast which is a little bit extra. This is where we might have some questions answered, we might have some fun extra little segments here. Basically, it's just the cream on the already overstuffed cake that is the QshCast lineup, and it gives you a little extra content later in the week. With me here today is Artie. Say hello, Artie.
Hello there, Qsh.
We do not have Julius with us because he has, what's one of those things? They live in your house. They eat your food. They provide that love stuff I've heard about. Oh, what is it? What is it called?
A broom?
Yes. Julius has a broom.
I sure hope he has a broom. I hope everyone has a broom.
Brooms are very important. Yes, he has a girlfriend, and he's spending some lovely time with her, so let's all be happy for
and
him that
his,
he has a positive.
And with his broom, I hope.
And with his broom, I hope he's not forcing her to spend time with the broom, because that's sexist, boys and girls.
You know, but, is it, though? Because I do all the sweeping in the house. Because I'm crazy. And I like to sweep and Swiffer and
you
vacuum.
You like to do these things?
Dude, I have animals and they shed, and I don't do shedding hair everywhere.
Yeah, see, that's not a deal breaker for me. So I wind up doing the sweeping, but it's purely because I do that for my wife because I'm whipped.
Hey, she
to an astonishing degree.
Hey, mine cooks, so I sweep. It works out well.
Yeah, I do the cooking too. But let's move on to the concept that's going to define our podcast a little bit today. These are shorter podcasts, just so you know. We're only going to cover a couple of things. But the one we need to cover, the one we didn't talk about on the main podcast, is murder. So you may have heard this week that, there's really no interesting or otherwise gentle way to say it. James Storm murdered Mickey James on an episode of Impact. He made her an offer she appeared not to accept on the weird, grainy, but at the same time high-resolution footage that we were watching this far, and he shoved her in front of a train.
I don't know. Is that murder, or is that just an accident?
Well, the shoving, I think, the police would have an issue with the shoving.
Would they, though?
Yes, they would.
I don't know about that. I think you could convince the cops otherwise. I mean, come on, it's Mickey James.
Now, it'll probably turn out that she fell under the train and didn't die, and then joined James Storm's stable, and that's totally a thing that'll happen. But for right now, in kayfabe terms, James Storm committed what may be the first ever wrestling murder. So let's dig into this. I mean, we've had other things that were similarly murderous linked in wrestling before. Maybe never one in a promotion that presented itself as realistically as TNA does, which is kind of why this one's getting all of the headlines. But can you think of, like, other murder attempts?
You know, I mean, we've had murder attempts before. For example, we've had, when Undertaker tried to sacrifice Steve Austin. And it was Kane who ran in and broke it up, or whatever it was. I can't quite remember. I think that's how it went. We've had, Concrete Crypt Match and Buried Alive, which are, you know, it's implied, but it's never like, oh, fuck, he actually just killed someone. And, you know, as you mentioned, we have, like, it's happened in less serious promotions, you know? Like, Chikara can kill people every month. Because these people are, you know, dragons and magical frogs or a goblin. Like, you know what I'm saying? You can pull off murder there. It's like, it's the same thing. Like, I just started watching this show. I don't know if you've heard of it. Maybe you have. It's called Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones?
Yeah, it's a little known show. I don't think anybody watches it. But they really, really, really enjoy killing people. And, I mean, like, someone dies in every scene of this show. And that's basically what Chikara can do. Now, at the same time, if I were watching Cops and someone were dying every scene, I'd be a little concerned.
Sure, sure.
So it's like, you know, TNA, for some reason, you're still presented as kind of realistic. So when someone's murdered, yeah, I understand that it just comes across a little weird, honestly.
And I think that's how WWE's always kind of gotten away with it, because most of the time it's like Undertaker storylines, and we all sort of understand that when the Undertaker shows up, all right, this is not the realistic part of the show, right?
Yeah, it's all magic. He's gonna...
Yeah. Because, like, the first example I was going to come up with, the only other time real murder was committed in front of our eyes was when Undertaker concreted Paul Bearer, and then they legitimately left him killed off.
Well, there was that, and there was a time Vince McMahon blew up in a limo.
Well, can we call that... Well, I guess it's attempted murder, that's for sure.
No, that was murder for sure, man. He was dead. Paul London did it. I solved the whole thing.
Well... See, that's the funny thing is, wasn't the idea that he was actually supposed to have been murdered for, like, they were really going to go with that?
Yeah, I mean, and then, I don't know, that little incident happened where that guy killed his wife and son or whatever, and they canceled that. So we'll never see how it really played out. But, yeah, it was supposed to be, I don't know why he died. Vince McMahon, you know, he's always had this, like, fetish for weird storylines. He wanted to get Stephanie pregnant, and... I think he's always wanted to do a murder because he wants to do like a whodunit. Because isn't that just so Vince McMahon? You know?
Yeah, it is.
And I think he's tried. And I honestly think if the Benoit thing hadn't happened, Vince McMahon would still be dead on TV. Either that or he would have come back like as Jesus.
Oh my god, he descends from the rafters all in white, like Gandalf the White.
Oh, absolutely. And that would have been his fucking thing. Because Vince McMahon is the only man, along with Shane, who's ever wrestled God. You know, and he can do that because he's Vince McMahon. And it is kind of... You know, these things sound really fucked up now that we talked about them. But the thing is, like, I don't think people remember how weird the mid-2000s were in WWE.
Oh, yeah. Like, anything went, and it was like this weird sort of trying to transition into PG, but at the same time just... ludicrous insanity while they tried to figure out what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah, it was like such a cross between like, you know, in the early 2000s, it was all real. Everything was real. Everyone was a fucking, you know, a shoot wrestler. And then all of a sudden it was like, ah, fuck it, put the boogeyman on TV. And everything went to shit, you know? And things got so weird. And then thankfully PG happened.
Yeah, it's funny to think of PG as, like, the thing that saved the day, but it really
it
did.
It truly and honestly did. PG saved us from that shit. And, I was gonna say, and the funny thing is, you know, this isn't even the first murder we've had in the last 2 weeks in pro wrestling. Another company did a murder, too, and everyone was like, yeah, murder, awesome!
Who else did murder?
Lucha Underground. See...
Really?
Yeah. After failing to win the Trios titles, one of those cholos known as, I think his name was Bale, known on the indie scene as B-Boy, was sacrificed to Dario Cueto's brother, who then ate his face. And when we all saw it, it was like, oh my god, this dude just had his face eaten on TV, like this is insane. But then, you know, you gotta think back, I mean, when Drago was fired, he burned up into the sky... probably to rise again another day. You know, Mil Muertes is kind of like a zombie. Like, all kinds of weird shit happens in Lucha Underground. And right now they have almost a Kill Bill storyline going on where Angela Fong has come back and she's, like, doing martial arts versus Chavo Guerrero in the locker room. And so it's like, it's okay. Lucha Underground is, you know, it's basically a kung fu movie with wrestling. And that's fine. But TNA... Do you remember what their tagline was?
Cross the line?
After that, this is when, you know, WWE was all entertainment or whatever. TNA's thing was like, you know, this is wrestling or we are wrestling. Or
Remember,
they really shoved Kurt Angle down our throats? Like, hey, we got wrestling, huh? Well, now look at him. Murder.
I want so much for the first segment on the next Impact to just be Kurt Angle coming out and being like, so I know a lot of people are talking about James Storm murdering Mickie James, And they might think that's all fake, but it's real. It's damn real. I have her death notice.
That has to be what happens. Like, I want TNA to just keep doing absurd things, and then, like, Dixie just insists they're real. She's like, yes, we have Cthulhu wrestling in our promotion now. He's real. And you're just like, what are you talking about? No, he isn't!
Put the world title on people who don't work for the company and stuff like that. Just like, we have John Cena world champion.
The Undertaker's here? And it's like, no, it isn't. It's literally...
We'll just turn all the lights off.
It's just, what was his name? Fake Undertaker. Brian Lee?
Brian Lee, yeah.
Let's just have him come out and be like, yep, we got the Undertaker. And, like, not even fake it. Use his real theme and everything.
And people, no, like, dude. That wouldn't even be Dixie enough. It would have to be Eric Young as the Undertaker.
God, yes.
As the Younger Taker.
Oh, that's just a bad pun. They can always hire back Luke Gallows and have him play fake Kane.
Why do we spend so much fucking time talking about Luke Gallows on these podcasts?
I don't know, because he doesn't talk about us on his podcast that nobody listens to.
Yeah, fuck you, Luke Gallows, with your listenership roughly comparable to ours.
Yeah, Luke Gallows, if that's your real name.
We're calling you out, Gallows Cast, or whatever it's called.
I'm not even going to mention it because I'm not plugging their podcast. The only other podcast I plug here is So You Think You Can Book.
That's right. Thank you, buddy. New episode coming out next week, by the way. Going to be real juicy.
I bet it will.
But okay. Yes. Speaking of juicy, since this is Cushcast After Dark, we're going to be doing a recurring segment where we, there's no other way to say it. This segment is called Getting Deep with Mike Hunt. So you can say that in a normal speed to yourself and enjoy that as much as you will. This is a segment where famous question asker Mike Hunt will ask us one of his delightfully weird questions, and we'll try to make some sense of it.
Or won't. We'll see how it goes.
These will almost never have anything to do with wrestling, because I'm not even sure he's ever watched wrestling.
Yeah, I don't think Mike Hunt watches anything besides, like, ICW.
Yeah, he's a really weird and delightful guy. And this week he wants to know, Artie, where is the strangest place you've ever taken a shit?
Huh. See, you know, I'm actually, it's weird to say, but I'm kind of bladder shy. So I don't,
really?
I don't really like to use the bathroom in strange places, like in people's, I don't even like pooping at someone else's house. It took me a few days to warm up when I started at my new job a few months back. I mean, now, you know, I take a morning dump there every morning. It's great. But, I'm not too adventurous with my poops. So I do have a good poop story, though.
Sure.
For those who don't know, I used to work at a gas station. And one time this woman comes in. Now, we had one bathroom. Male, female, no division. It was one bathroom. And you had to grab a key and go use it. Now, someone was in the bathroom taking a dump. When this woman runs up into the store, she's like, I need to use your bathroom right now. And I'm like, ma'am, someone's in there. She's like, well, I need to use it right now. And I'm just like, well, ain't nothing I can do. You gotta wait. She's like, I need to use the employee bathroom. We don't have an employee bathroom. We use the same bathroom. And so she runs outside. She's like literally running around my parking lot, right? And then just dips out behind my car and takes a dump right there in the parking lot.
Oh my god.
Right there, right in front of my car, just takes a dump, pulls her pants up, and jumps right back in her car and leaves. Now, mind you, you gotta remember, I'm the manager. I'm not gonna clean up shit. So I literally backed my car up and made my employee, who is also actually one of my best friends, go clean up.
Or was until then.
Poor guy. He actually still is, and he even had me in his wedding party a few months back. I made him go clean up that shit in front of my car, and I was so fucking mad. But yeah, no strange poop stories for me.
Oh my god, that is fantastic. My answer to this question, it's not a proud answer, and I'm sad to say that it's a public kind of answer. Look, I'm just gonna come straight out with it. I'm not the first person to do this, and in fact, I had witnessed someone else doing this, which is where I think I got the idea. But one night, when I was perhaps slightly underage, I was super drunk in the DC Metro tunnels, which are, underneath, and you take them, and I was waiting for the train, and I was waiting, and I was waiting. And after I got on the train, it was going to be like a 20-minute ride and like a 20-minute walk from the station just to get home, or just to get to the nearest bathroom. I even knew where it was. So I was just sitting there, and I was sitting there, and I was sitting there. And then my friend, I guess, jokingly suggested that I just go in the trash can, and I didn't even hesitate. I was just like, oh, yeah, trash can, right? I remember in my head thinking, well, there's nobody else here. But from what my friend tells me, there were people everywhere. And I had no idea that they were, but they left pretty quick. And that's a horribly embarrassing
Well,
story.
yeah, I would also leave really quick if there was a weird guy taking his shit in a garbage can.
The worst part of it to me is that I was told afterwards that after I did it, I carefully put the top back on the trash can and then sat down on a bench right next to it, just like it never happened.
That's great because if anyone calls you out, it'd be like, nah, bro, like the lid's still on
Don't
it.
know what you're
What
talking
are you?
about. How could I poop when the lid's on? I don't know what you mean.
What? Undertaker's our champion. I don't know what you're talking about.
That is what Dixie. I bet you Dixie Carter's poop story is very similar.
I bet she has some.
Okay, I'm glad we could share some poop stories with our rapidly dwindling audience. Okay, but before we get out of here, we'll cover one more topic pretty briefly. We actually got a question. It was after the original podcast was already recorded, so we didn't get a chance to get in on that one. But since it would have, I'm going to give it a shout out here and even give a shout out to the guy who asked it. This question is from Ricky Classic, and he wants to know, what's your take on cool heels? Is it just how wrestling has evolved, or do we have a problem and no real heels anymore?
Okay, Ricky Classic. Where's new Ricky, huh? That's my question for you. Come back with an answer, son. Cool heels. Yes. Too much of this shit, and I actually fucking hate it. Like, I don't mind one or two, like, Punk was a cool heel. He tried to be despicable. He actually was pretty despicable as a heel. But let's see. No, I guess The Rock is one of the best cool heels, right? The Rock can do it. The Rock can do it. I don't like when people like fucking Nobody McNobody in the indie scene runs around and they're all cool heel. They don't fucking sell for anybody. You know, they're gonna make fun of the baby face and play up to the crowd and look how great I am. Because then the baby face gets no heat. The baby face comeback means nothing. This is why people cheer heels. I guess Dolph Ziggler would be a good one to use here. Ziggler, if you're heel, don't act so fucking cool all the time. You know, it's like you can't. It's one thing to showboat as a heel, it's another to actually do things that are fucking cool. Heels should showboat after doing nothing. A heel should hold you in a headlock for 5 minutes and then say, "Huh? I got that motherfucker right there, huh?" To me, a good heel, one of my favorite heels, is actually Finlay. I like Finlay, I like how he wrestles. Finlay's a pretty big dude. He's a guy who could believably beat the shit out of you in a bar fight. Yet Finlay rakes the eyes. He, you know, grabs the ring curtain and he's the ring skirt and he makes you know, fall and he's gonna choke you with it. When the ref's not looking, he's fish hooking you in the mouth, he tacks your knees. And mind you, this is a guy who is bigger than 80% of the roster. But he's a heel, so he's gonna wrestle dirty. And Finley's one of those guys you never cheered him as a heel. No one fucking cheered Finley as a heel. That's why the dude was, I think he had like a 20-year run as the top heel over in Ireland. You
Oh yeah,
know?
in all of Europe, really.
Basically, and that's why I like him. That's why I can appreciate a guy like Regal, who's a classic heel. William Regal, who even he has a purposeful way that he walks as a heel. He slouches because he's tall and he doesn't want you to realize how big he is. So he makes himself smaller and kind of creakety, and he holds his hands in a weird way, and he's going to always cut you down at the knee instead of trying to, make himself look so fucking cool. He's going to try and make you look cool because he's so boring. I like that. I could do without the fucking cool heels.
You know what? I feel the same way, but I don't think it's quite like the abomination that people make it out to be, because I think it is just kind of like the change of the times. I don't think we're ever going to go back to, like, most of the heels being the way that they once were. Because I think, especially in WWE, they're so interested in, like, moment-to-moment response, like the social media response, and, like, they can visibly see what their audience is thinking from moment to moment. And they don't like it when their audience isn't happy. You know what I mean? Which is really hard to do, because you have to build up heels. You have to make bad things happen to your favorites. You can't just make it be great all the time. It's not how it works. But I don't think, in order to really be a heel, people have to genuinely hate you. And I don't think, like, even with all the praise they give to Seth Rollins right now, nobody genuinely hates Seth Rollins.
No, we cheered when he won the title.
Yeah, the last real heel that WWE had was The Miz when he won the title, and people genuinely hated him. And do you remember how people reacted to that, like, online? They fucking hated it. They were just like, this is garbage. He's not a real champion. It's like they didn't realize that that's what a heel was supposed to make you feel like, and they were like, no, this is wrong business-wise because I don't like it.
People need to remember one thing. The Miz is probably the only guy who main evented WrestleMania against John Cena, and John Cena actually got cheered over him.
That's true. He got cheered that whole feud. And it wasn't just... And, like, he was getting booed out of the building every time he got in the ring with The Rock, but the second The Miz showed up, boom, everyone's a face but that guy.
I mean, Miz... And I always enjoyed Miz's run. I'm a big Miz supporter. I think that guy, in general, is just a good... He got Damian Sandow over. You know? Yep. He gets anyone who's with him... He got Alex Riley over. Yep. He got John Morrison over. He got Big Show over. Those two were a good team.
It's true. But it must be said... that it's not just because he's talented, though he is much more talented than people give him credit for. That's like 20 years of built-up douchebaggery that make him this way. The Miz that we hate isn't something WWE manufactured. That's the product of the real world and the MTV-ness and how fake and shitty he was when he first showed up. Like, it's a long time, like, gestating before you really get the perfect heel like that, right?
Yeah. But the thing with The Miz is, too, he's the only guy who took it and made it work. Like, a lot of guys come in, and they're naturally hated. Like, for example, CJ Parker. Nobody liked CJ Parker. I don't think you'll find a fucking single CJ Parker fan, right? But the guy never got it over. You know? It was like, you don't like him, but he never got it over. You know, a guy like Mojo Rawley. No one likes Mojo Rawley besides me. But he's never going to get it over. It's like these guys who are just universally hated need to learn how to adapt it and make it their thing. Miz is still despised. Miz, his face run failed because he's not a face. And he's a guy who should never, ever, ever try to be a face again.
Yep. I think that, like, the blueprint for heel for such a long time has been Ric Flair. And I think that that's actually a horrible example, because I think he was every bit the special product of his time that Hulk Hogan was. And Hulk Hogan wouldn't work today, and neither would Ric Flair. Ric Flair was a cool heel in an era of despicable heels. That's what made him special. Everyone can't be Ric Flair. Look at Gorgeous George as the blueprint and learn the lesson. Not that you should wear robes like Gorgeous George, or you should talk the talk like Gorgeous George, that you should be whatever the product of your time is that people despise. He was a girly man who was fancy and seemed British in a time where that was the worst thing you could possibly be. That's what made him a heel, maybe the greatest ever. That's what Ric Flair was. He was the opulent rich boy in the 80s when everyone hated those guys. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, that's what makes you special. That's what makes a heel special. Now, The Miz was a C-list celebrity douchebag, and it worked because people believed in it.
Not only that, but don't forget, that was when everyone was really coming down on, like, fuck, reality TV is stupid.
Exactly. You know? Now, what do you have to be? I don't know. Is it time for like a Gamergate heel? I have no idea.
Awesome. I was thinking like a Justin Bieber type thing. I don't know how you work. Canadians? Can we do Canadians? No, fuck Canadians.
But I think you could maybe do something like that. Like, I don't know. But there are still ways to work people's buttons. But I don't think the promotions anymore have confidence in going that route because it's harder. It takes more time. It takes trust in the performer to get it over. Otherwise, you're just pissing off your fans for nothing.
Yeah, that's the key, is a heel can't just make people mad. He's got to make people want to see him get his ass kicked.
Exactly. And then happy when it's over because it worked.
Yep.
It's a tough thing, but wrestling stuff, man. Get to work.
Yep, that's, I think, I mean, Kevin Owens is a good heel, but he's getting, you know, putting him in there with John Cena is getting him over. And I think, you know, Triple H was always a great heel. I think he needs to work on developing some heel talents down there.
Yeah, and Triple H is a great heel no matter what you people out there think, because you always hated him. No matter what he did, you never let him be liked, and that's what a heel is, boys and girls.
Just remember, he's the guy who brings you NXT that you love so much, yet you will still boo him on TV.
That's right. So there you have it. And all right, that's going to bring us to the end of our short little mini episode. Before we get out of here, is there any After Dark business that you want to mention? Any extra studies that they can do?
More homework? I already gave them homework on the regular Cushcast.
Fuck those people. They get more homework.
Okay, my homework is to go find us more examples of murder in wrestling. We've got the Deucalion murders in Chikara. We've got Mickey James getting pushed in front of a train. And we got B-Boy getting his face eaten off on TV. If you can find us more, we'll gladly take them.
Yes, Cushcateers, go out there and be our detectives. Track down these examples of murder, and we will put a microscope to them on the next podcast.
Or not.
And yeah, or probably we won't. We're not the world's greatest detectives. We're just some assholes who like wrestling. So, all right, it's time to sign off now. Last thing before we do, Raymond Volnut wanted to hear me say his name on the air. So, Raymond Volnut, this is your name being said on the air. Raymond Volnut.
And I won't say it because it's a stupid name.
Volnut on After Hours. And all right, that'll do it for us tonight. And to all of you out there, remember, this is After Hours, so now, do smoke crack.